Good morning, everybody. Appreciate you being here. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we are going to look at probably what is the most familiar text of Scripture in Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. I'm calling our lesson today, Joyful Sanity for Chaotic Days. And I think you'd probably agree with me that during these days, many of us frequently feel like we're on our last nerve. The stress is more than what it normally is. And I've even heard people say, you know, it's just about to drive me crazy, all this. I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. Well, I think we've got a passage this morning that helps us find a way, a path toward what we might call joyful sanity. Once again, I don't want to embarrass anybody in the class, but some of you are old enough to remember the popular singer just died not long ago, sang blues and soul, a guy named Bill Withers, and he recorded a couple of great songs, among others, Lovely Day, and then that classic that I still hear today, Lean On Me. Lean On Me. And it's a great song about how we need a friend to lean on. But you're going to see in today's text that we are encouraged to lean on the Lord and to not lean on our own understanding. So I want us to talk about that, what that means and what are the implications. But just as a beginner this morning, let me read the first 8 verses of chapter 3, because that will give you some context. I would just point out in terms of setting as we begin, the first 4 verses of chapter 3 deal with remembering and keeping the word of the Lord. And you'll see reference to the law of the Lord in Proverbs. And the word it's translating there is the word in Hebrew, Torah, which means teaching instruction. And so the idea is that the word of God should permeate every decision, and that I need to internalize and to personalize the word of God consistently. Well, then if you look just past our text, you will see verses 7 and 8. And the challenge there is for us to be people of humility and reverence. Notice that reference. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I think about that reminder, and I think about what you read in the book of Judges. The description of the culture in those days certainly parallels with today. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Well, tucked in between those two emphases, remembering and keeping the word of the Lord and humility and reverence before the Lord, is this reminder that we are to depend on the Lord and trust the Lord. Walking rightly with God means depending on Him. So you follow along as I read the first 8 verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Well, let's zero in for just a few minutes on verses 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. The first thing I want you to see in the first part of chapter 3, verse 5, first part of the verse, we get a command. We're supposed to rely on the Lord. It's like Solomon has moved from the law of God, and now he's going to focus on not simply trusting in the law of God, but trusting the God of the law. And look at the object of our trust there. We are to trust in the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, a reference to Yahweh, the covenant name of God. Emphasis on this God who makes promises, who sought out and revealed himself to the Hebrew people. He is a worthy object of our trust. He's the one who was, he's the one who is, he's the one who will be. He's in a category by himself, and we are to trust him. And look at this expression. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Well, the Hebrew word is very helpful and instructive here. It means to lie helpless, to be face down. It's a picture of someone stretched out on the ground. The picture is complete abandoned dependence. One of the Puritans, John Trapp, used to say, this trust is such that the believer says to himself, if he, that is the Lord, fail, then I sinkest. If you look at the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this word trust means settled persuasion, settled persuasion. This word trust deals with that sense of security that comes from complete confidence and reliance on the Lord. It's very childlike. Many of you in the class have grandchildren. If you don't have grandchildren, you remember with your own children. You know, a child is just so trusting. Maybe you've had the experience I had when my kids were young. You're driving down the road and they're in the car seats in the back seat and you're stopped at a stoplight and you look in the rearview mirror and you see this big set of eyes just staring forward. And that child is not worried. That child is not concerned. That child has complete confidence that you or mom are going to get him or her where they need to be. Why? Because there's a security in that relationship. So that's the expression there. And notice the extent of this trust. It's comprehensive. With all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just part, not just with a large percentage, but with all your heart. I like to think that at this point in the advice that Solomon is giving here, that it's like he's saying, look, let me shake you up. Let me encourage you to focus all of your confidence away from yourself and on the Lord. Many of you, if not all of us now, have vehicles that are equipped with GPS. And if you plug in an address and you miss a turn or you go the wrong way, that voice in your GPS equipment will say, rerouting, 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 and it grabs your attention. I like to think that Solomon is saying here to really all of us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hey, you need the rerouting of the wisdom and the power and the might of God. Well, let's look specifically at what that involves. Secondly, renounce reliance on your own understanding. Now, in verse 5, the first part, the object of our trust is the Lord, and he's a worthy object. But now, to drive home that point, what does Solomon do? He points us to an object that is unworthy of our trust, and he calls it our own understanding. Well, what is our own understanding? Here's a simple definition. Your own understanding, my own understanding, that would be the conclusions that we make based primarily on our own perceptions. And what the Bible reminds us of again and again is that our own understanding cannot bear the full weight of reality. It was never intended to. I think about Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately sick. And in the Hebrew mindset, the concept of heart has to do with mind and will and emotions, right? And so you and I have an intellect. We have mind, we have will, and we have emotions. But that's not to be our go-to resource. We are to go not to our own understanding, but to the Lord. Look at the expression there. Do not lean on your own understanding. The idea is that of like you're leaning on something that can't hold up your weight. It's like leaning on a broken crutch, a great ancient reminder of the danger of self-sufficiency. And that's what you have as you look on down to verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If you make yourself to be wise in your own eyes, you are what? You're leaning on your own understanding. Instead, I'm to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing literally to your navel, the center of existence, and it will be literally medicine to the bones. So do not lean on your own understanding. And I think the last part of this verse and the contrast that's set up here exposes something we don't want to miss. And that is the insanity of leaning on your own understanding. Now, I want to make it clear that the Bible does not encourage irrationality. John Bloom says the Bible puts up no wall of separation between our intellect and our faith. That is to say, the Bible nowhere says to you and me, hey, just give your life to Jesus. Just trust the promises of God, but check in your mind and your intellect at the door. That is not what the Bible says. It's not what Solomon is saying here. What the Bible does say is your ultimate place of reliance when it comes to understanding and getting a grip on life is not your own perception, not your own understanding, but rather the Lord's enlightenment of that understanding that he has given you. And so it's completely insane, we might say, to trust your own understanding when you can trust the unlimited intellect, the unlimited understanding of God. That's what Solomon's trying to say here. You really have lost touch with reality. It's completely insane for you to attempt to navigate life with your minuscule perspective when you have at your resources, when you have available the unlimited, majestic mind of God, which leads to the last thing in verse 6. Look at it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's really interesting what's going on in the Hebrew text there. That word acknowledge is certainly good. That gets the idea, but it's so rich here. The idea is that you and I should resolve to treasure the Lord's presence. Once again, the object is the Lord. And what I'm to do and what you are to do, we're to rest our intellect on his intellect and understanding. Nothing saner, nothing wiser could happen in your mental and spiritual health pilgrimage than for you to understand, Lord, you've given me perspective. You've given me the capacity to perceive things, but I want you by your Spirit to guide me, and I yield to you because I see such a small part of the picture, and you see everything. So, Lord, I'm going to rest my intellect on your intellect, your understanding. Nothing could be wiser or saner. Look at the expression. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The idea is that of awareness and submission. In every detail of my life, notice the extent again, comprehensive, in all your ways. I like to think of this as the what I call the majesty and the mundane reminder. Most of our lives, and that would be true of everybody in this class, most of our lives are marked by lameness, sameness, and tameness. We have the same responsibilities. We get up every day, and it's not glamorous. There are objectives for us and missions for us to accomplish. And I think the challenge for us under Scripture is to see the Lord's majesty and to be reminded of his presence in the midst of the ordinary, mundane, routine things of life. And the reason I say that is because the wisdom perspective would remind us that the Lord shows up powerfully in the routine, in the mundane, in the ordinariness, we might say, of life. And we don't want to miss that. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then catch this, look at the assurance we get. And he will make your path straight. Now, if you look in the Old Testament particularly, and you see it echoed in the New, you'll see this theme. Think about Isaiah 40. Every valley will be exalted, and the Lord will make the crooked straight. Now, I want you to understand, and you know this by experience, knowing the Lord and having his understanding doesn't mean that I don't have trials and difficulties. It does not mean that. My journey, your journey, will be laden with sorrows and difficulties and challenges. But we've got a promise here in this text that the Lord will make our path straight. In essence, he will make a way. He will go ahead of us. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the last year in my own pilgrimage is that it's not just wishful thinking. It's really a promise you can claim. Wherever you're going, and I'm talking to all of us, wherever you're going, whatever is ahead for you, good, bad, in between, I can promise you on the basis of Scripture and on the basis of experience, wherever you're going, God will get there before you. He goes ahead of his people. And that's the idea here. He goes ahead of his people. And when we think the way seems impassable, when we can't put another foot in front of the other, what does he do? He makes a straight path for our feet. And so that is the picture. I remember when I was pastoring, from time to time, people would come to my office and say, we just really want to know the will of God in situation X. And we're really having a hard time discerning what to do in this situation. And I remember reminding folks then of some good advice I got a long time ago. And it was this. If you want to know the will of God in a specific situation in your life, make sure, to the best of your knowledge and by the help of the Spirit, you are following God's will in the general things in life. That is, don't ask the Lord to show you and give you specific direction when you're not willing to walk with him in the basics, you might say the general outlook of the Christian life. Because the more you acknowledge him, the more you are aware of, the more you submit to his infinite intellect and understanding, the clearer his will is going to become for you. Well, let's move now to the so what, all right? I think we don't want to leave this passage without affirming really the main focus, the main idea. And I'd put it like this. Because your security depends on the Lord, depend on him comprehensively. I mean, if God is who this book says he is, if he truly is the great I am, then he's our only security. And I'm a fool, and you're a fool, if my ultimate confidence is not in him. All right? Now, I've got a quote for you in the outline today. You can look at it if you don't have it in front of you now. Bruce Waltke, the Old Testament scholar, writes, "One is foolish to rely on his own thimble of knowledge before its vast ocean or his own understanding." Isn't that a great picture? A thimble of knowledge. On my best day, on your best day, that's what we have. A thimble of knowledge, a thimble of understanding, a thimble of perspective. But you and I have the option, we have the opportunity to rest secure in the infinite intellect, in the unlimited knowledge of a sovereign God. Well, let's do quickly a couple of Old and New Testament commentaries, I think, that relate to this text. First of all, let me read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Isn't that a beautiful reminder? What ought to consume us is not our stuff and not our status, but knowing this God. And man, don't we need him. He is the Lord who practices steadfast love, loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Wow, we need justice and righteousness in the earth. And it comes only through the Son of Righteousness. And we are to trust him and to treasure him. And then look at 2 Corinthians, or at least listen to me as I read a couple of verses. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and they're giving him a little bit of pushback because it seems to them that his plans are always changing in his effort to come to them. And in that context, you know what Paul does? He says, wait a minute. We've always told you the truth in Christ, and God is not wishy-washy. Look at what it says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. And then you got to love this verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to the glory of God. All of God's promises find their yes in him. How does God guide his people? How does God make our path straight? Ultimately, he does it in Jesus, does it? He takes the crooked, he takes the impassable, and he makes it passable. And he makes all things new. Which leads me to think about a number of the old hymns that we sing. I think about Elisha Hoffman, Mike Troll, when he wrote, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." That is not escapism. That is realism. I don't rely on myself. I rely on the everlasting arms. It's trusting him. It is a life of total and complete dependence. How about this from Ezra Stites? Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. You see, you don't make ultimate and full sense of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 until you get to God's ultimate yes, and that person is Jesus. He's the ultimate focus of my trust and my confidence and my hope. And so there may be chaos in the streets. There may be uncertainty economically. There may be any number of things just make my blood pressure want to spike through the roof. And I'm not saying we live in denial regarding those things. I'm saying in the midst of those things, we say, Lord, you have made certain promises. And you are calling me now to trust you like I've never trusted you before, to acknowledge you and to know that you're in control and that all of your promises are yes in Christ. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for my friends in the Sunburst class. Thank you that we can be together this Lord's Day. And Father, thank you for the certain hope that we have in Jesus, who is your ultimate yes to all of your promises. Lord, forgive us for trusting in our own thimble of intellect and knowledge when we have at our disposal all of the infinite resources of wisdom and power that are yours and that are ultimately demonstrated in the Lord Jesus. So, Father, I pray that this week we would not trust ourselves, not trust our own understanding, but rather we would look to you and that we would depend on you, that we would be stretched out in complete confidence and trust, all for the glory of King Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Y'all have a great rest of the day and a great week. I'll see you next Sunday, same time, same bat channel. See y'all.